Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian, bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It is Wednesday, which means we are halfway through the week. And I still haven't figured out if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Either way, it's neither. Here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, you're listening to us on the southern swath of Wisconsin and the eastern half. I'm over here in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're over there in the Solidarity Realty Studios at the Devil Radio Madison location at Devil Radio 92.7 FM as well as 1580 AM. That's WTTN.
Yeah. And it's
check us out on the Devil Radio app, dude.
You can check us out on the app. You can check us out online on Twitter and Facebook as well. You can follow the show at Dueling Tangents on Twitter as well as both of the stations at Devil Radio 927 and at WAUK Radio on Facebook and Twitter. But Brian, it's a whole lot of Wednesday. We got a pretty jam-packed news day that we're going to get to all the headlines and what's going on here in the great state of Wisconsin. But as always, our listeners can join the conversation, share their tangent, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But Brian, it's an exciting and interesting time right now because we've got a lot of people running on the ballot. And a lot of, like you've alluded to, campaign ads have candidates in various settings walking through crowds.
Hi, my name is candidate blah, 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 and I can do things. You can tell by the way that they're, this is paid for by somebody else. Oh, if they want to go and do something bad, it's shadowy. And oh, my goodness, it's almost like a dream where these hooded people are coming in and murdering people because of Tony Evers. Oh, my goodness, I can't vote for him now.
Yeah, there's a lot of different underlying tones and everything for campaign ads, but one of the most common backdrops right now for campaign political ads this campaign season here in the state of Wisconsin is gas stations.
Yeah.
Republicans are doing their campaign spots for their campaign ads in front of gas stations.
I bet you they're going to gas stations where there's so many people that would maybe disagree with the point of view that they're trying to push.
No, because that's the exact time when everybody's filling up right now at the pump is the exact time that you want to talk to them about politics, I guess. Or at least that's how some Wisconsin Republicans view it, because they're not just going to different areas with like parades and things of that nature. They're going and campaigning at the pump, Brian. And there's a very interesting piece over at the Racine Journal-Times. And the headline is Wisconsin Republicans are running for office at the gas pump. This is written up by Adam Rogan over at the Journal Times. And it's a pretty you brought it to my attention, Brian. You brought this for the show today. And
I'm starting to when I try and keep my finger on the pulse of, you know, the community or, you know, the online community or just you go into different circles and things like that and you kind of hear what people are saying and I'm starting to see people who had no political leanings or no political affiliation starting to share things about Biden and gas right now, which means that they're winning the messaging wars.
Right. People that you contend aren't really necessarily talking about politics in a lot of
they don't necessarily care about politics. They know that the gas pump sucks. And the easiest way to do it is go, Biden is president, and that's awful. Because when you have, you know, living day-to-day expenses, I guess you can't, you know, pay attention to things like the things that affect those day-to-day expenses. But anyway.
Yeah, well, for a lot of people out there, there is just some association. Oh, whoever's in the White House, whoever's in charge right now, they're to blame for the reason. The gas prices are so high.
Yeah, because depending on who you ask, if Clayfish is at the pump, she's blaming Tony Evers. If Stiles at the pump, he's blaming Joe Biden.
Yeah, so different candidates means different places of blame. If you, like you said, federal candidates blaming federal, quote-unquote, troublemakers, is what Republicans would be referring to him as. Or if you're running for a statewide race, you're blaming the statewide actors here in the state of Wisconsin.
I don't know how you're even blaming this on Evers whatsoever. Dude is trying to actually repeal the federal gas tax or suspend it for a while.
Right, he wanted a federal gas tax holiday through the end of the year, and that has not made much progress, as far as I can tell, in Congress.
But at least he's trying to do something, and he's not crying about it at a pump when he didn't actually have anything to do with it.
Right, and so I also find it interesting, though, that one of the votes that did go before Congress, where Brian Stile, who was complaining about federal actors, Biden, the EPA, that nature, Stile had the chance to vote against price gouging, to prevent oil companies, big oil companies, from price gouging Americans right now.
They mentioned that way, way, way down in the article.
Took 16 paragraphs for the reporter in this piece to get to that point, Brian, but I think it's important to point this out because, like you said, people are having these conversations. People are upset about high gas prices. I'm upset about high gas prices, too. And I think if we don't talk about this issue, it becomes just framed from right-wing talking points. And so I was like, all right, I don't...
Those are the easiest to understand because they do know their voters.
Right. They boil it down and they send it out in mass. They blame Biden. They got those stickers of Biden saying, I did that. And they're putting on gas
It's
pumps.
So funny because he did it.
But if you ask, hey, well, what did Biden do to make higher gas prices?
Would you like him to do to fix it?
Right. What magical lever
stumped
could he pull?
And stymied every time. In fact, they changed subjects almost immediately.
It's very similar to the response when you ask, you know, individuals that claim there was widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election to be able to say, okay, where was the fraud? Was committed? And you ask simple questions like that, and the arguments start to fizzle.
They change the subject because they are weak and they are weak-minded individuals.
And so I think that's an important thing for individuals to also talk about. So why do they believe Biden and Evers are the cause for these higher gas prices? And you go through all these things. Oh, well, he rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement. Even though prices were going down during the Obama administration, gasoline prices were going down amidst the initial joining of the Paris Climate Accords.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sorry, that doesn't really seem like a very... one-off. They're not directly related.
But besides, those are future goals, not necessarily things like a button that you press.
Right. And so I think it's important that we go, okay, well, if record prices are at record highs right now, let's see what the oil companies are doing. Let's go check in and see what the, I don't know, profit margins are for these oil companies, Brian.
And let's maybe compare it to the price of oil then, the price of oil now.
Right. I think looking in and seeing what oil companies, if they're just meeting their margins, but they have to charge these higher prices because the commodity is so high in the market right now, okay, maybe that's not the problem. We'll go look for a solution elsewhere. But when you look at the big oil companies' profit margins, Brian, for quarter one of 2022, you start to see that maybe the most direct players in setting prices for gasoline are the ones that are reaping in all of the benefits right now of higher gas prices.
That's crazy.
Because it takes till paragraph 16 for Adam Rogan to touch on this point, but I think it needs to be highlighted a little bit higher, in my opinion. Because ExxonMobil, Brian, they had $5.48 billion of profits in the first quarter of this year alone.
Huh.
BP, $6.2 billion in profits, their highest quarterly profit in a decade.
They are financially strapped then. I can see why they can't change anything.
Chevron, $6.26 billion, a 400% increase compared to 2021's Q1.
They must have done that because of Joe Biden, which is also a bad thing, even though they're profiting, which is a good thing. But it's because it's Joe Biden's fault that it's bad. But it's also Joe Biden's fault because he's feeble and can't do anything, right?
Three companies, Brian, raking in almost $18 billion of profit.
In 3 months.
Over the first 3 months of this year alone. I attest that when those quarterly numbers come out at the end of this, we're coming up to the close of the second quarter, Brian. I think those numbers are going to be even more staggering for quarter two. But apparently it takes till paragraph 16 for reporters that are covering the fact that Republicans are running on this issue. They're running and they're campaigning at gas pumps.
If you see one of these jackasses at the pumps, ask them what they're doing to stop price gouging.
Because
when they had a chance to, Brian Stiles said no.
Yeah, Brian Stiles voted against it federally. If Rebecca
everything
Clefish,
that he complains about, everything that he has complained about, he's had a chance to vote on, he said no to.
Yeah, and if Rebecca Clefish really wanted to call for money and relief to Wisconsinites facing these higher prices at the pump, she could, I don't know, tell her friends in the state legislature. Put politics aside. Right now, Americans are hurting. Let's use some of that $3.8 billion of surplus sitting in Wisconsin's state coffers right now and return it to the Wisconsinites. Return it to Wisconsin taxpayers.
Use it to cut into, give it to directly to the gas companies or the gas, like the Quick Trips that are basically your donors, right? Why don't you give it directly to Quick Trip and see how fast they spend it on their gas to go and reduce prices? Will that happen? Because if they did, then I guarantee you that people from Illinois will go and drive up here and buy more of our gas. But then again, are you manipulating the market by doing that? Are you advocating for socialist or communist type of policies by doing that? Again, will you specifically enumerate what you want Joe Biden or Tony Evers to do to go and fix the situation? Or are you just looking for someone to blame because you're too dumb to figure out what the actual situation is?
Yeah, well, I don't think they want to actually admit that it's corporate profiteering off the American people right now.
Uh-huh. It totally is, though.
And that is the thing, is they don't want to actually identify the problem that we are facing.
Because it's something that we let happen.
No, they want to play the blame game, and they want to be able to continue to play politics rather than actually come up with solutions to address the problems like rising prices.
And any time that we suggest an issue or suggest a solution, which Democrats have suggested and put forth several solutions, they keep getting voted down over and over again. But somehow, Evers and Biden have the ability to affect global gas prices on their own, but yet can't get any bills of their own passed.
No. But how's that filibuster doing? You know, really fostering some bipartisan solutions in the U.S. Senate where that...
Making people work together. And hey, when was the last time that Republican worked with a Democrat? You know that one Republican that said, I'm campaigning on trying to work together with people? Because somehow the Democrats always have to campaign on, I want to work across the aisle. But not one Republican has ever, ever, ever campaigned on working across the aisle. In fact, all they do is campaign on, well, at least I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah, folks.
Do you have any ideas? Nope. At least I'm not a Democrat.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're taking your calls. 844-967-2789. Got a number of other Wisconsin headlines and your calls coming up after the break. Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian.
I don't feel tardy.
You don't feel tardy?
No.
You gonna get written up?
I brought my pencil.
Yeah, well, you need your pencil because we're going to dive into a little bit of a different update going on here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian, because I think it's good to compare. You know, you want to be able to compare and contrast. So individuals are campaigning on higher gas prices without actually providing solutions to be able to solve those problems.
Wait. Stiles wrote a letter.
Oh, he wrote a letter.
He's really good at writing strongly worded letters that go nowhere and do
nothing. Yes, he sent a letter to the EPA. Isn't that correct?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. That guy, that's a person that wrote a letter. He totally has two eyes and arms.
Yeah, I mean, he'll continue to write letters, but you know, it's good.
Strongly worded.
So that is what Republicans are doing. They're
Doing
campaign hits in front of
give
gas
him credit.
Stations
he
and
can
writing
write.
Letters.
He can write or dictate at least.
At least dictate. Yes, I would contend is probably written on his behalf by somebody in his office. But
and it wasn't on a napkin. I don't think it might have been a PDF.
Ooh, it might have even been a PDF. Well, Brian,
you
I
don't
think
even know what a PDF is.
It's important to compare and contrast, though, because we're playing a little Hot for Teacher coming in
yes.
to this segment, because let's contrast with how Republicans versus Democrats have done for, I don't know, say schools. Here
oh,
in the
yeah.
state of Wisconsin.
The things that they complain about all the time? Oh, the schools are failing. The schools are failing.
Yeah, they need to completely dismantle Milwaukee public schools because they want to expand charter and vouchers in the state of Wisconsin.
Now, keep in mind, our public school system, we're actually funding two of them right now. So we're doing this wonderful job right now that we're going to talk about while funding two school systems.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's get into this. This is written by our buddy Joe Zepecki. This is published over at Up North News. Governor Evers leads Wisconsin schools to top 10 best in U.S.
Oh, so the state's back in the top 10.
But I thought that we were the worst ever. Oh, my goodness. It's almost like, let's read on. Let's see here. During the last year of former Republican Governor Scott Walker's tenure, Wisconsin's education system was ranked just 18th in the country, according to the gold standard U.S. News and World Report rankings. Now, but I thought that his Act 10 was supposed to help education and make it better.
No.
It's almost like the actual results are that he was awful for education and was wrong.
He was just picking fights with the teachers' unions. That's all it was.
That's
he
right
wanted to
that's right,
dismantle
that's right.
teachers' unions in the state of Wisconsin. And because of that political fight that Walker brought to the state, Wisconsin's public schools dropped in the rankings.
Man, you know what? I got to tell you, the same people that really feel that the state is horrible in education really feel that the Packers really won the championship this year because they felt like they did. But I mean, the actual facts are they absolutely did not because they freaking lost. But
why you got to bring up the special teams failures?
Because the same type of people who do this are the same type of people who go, the Packers really won. I don't believe it. Anyway, just 3 years later, after two full years under the Democratic Tony Evers, Wisconsin schools are back in the top 10, ranking eighth best in the nation.
Eighth best. So up 10 spots in
10
two
spots.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Evers, the former state superintendent of public instruction. Now, let's not forget, there could have been 10 other legislatures that fell under Republican rule and dropped. So we may have just stayed still while other places dropped.
Well, let's be fair as well. We could maybe even be doing better if we had a legislature that worked with the governor rather than, just vetoing everything that he wants to do, stripping all of his proposals
and
out of his state budget.
Literally proposing to defund the entirety of public, like you completely mm-hmm. dismantle mm-hmm. Public education. Those are the solutions that the Republicans are showing. Anyway, Evers, the former state superintendent of public instruction and an educator himself, made strengthening public education a cornerstone of his 2018 campaign. Since taking office, Evers has delivered a number of accomplishments in the education space, 2/3 funding. According to PolitiFact, Evers promised to restore the full state commitment to funding public education to 2/3 during his run for governor. Today, they rate that as a promise kept.
Mm-hmm.
Early education. Despite opposition from Republican lawmakers in the legislature, Evers found ways to invest in early education, directing more than $130 million in federal funding available to the state directly to programs like Child Care Counts. Higher education. Evers has extended the tuition freeze for the University of Wisconsin for in-state students, keeping college more affordable for working families, while finding other ways to maintain funding levels for schools. So even when the Republicans are doing everything they can to literally stop the public education system, Governor Evers has moved us up 10 ranks.
Still delivering. Yep. Moving us back into the top 10 as a state. So it's good, like you said, to compare and contrast. Brian, let's head over to the phone lines real quick. We got our friends calling in. We got Dick and Madison waiting up first this afternoon. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, the gas thing, first of all, but Evers, that is funny, isn't it, how a guy that was the head of public education would actually know how to, direct money.
Weird how that correlates.
Back up. And that's really strange, isn't it? No, but your gas thing from earlier, I've been driving, I hate to say it, for 52 years. And ever since that first oil embargo in 1973, I've seen this really bad thing play out about every two or three years, whether you like it or not. And this time they really are sticking it to you. Coming out of the pandemic, they had a couple bad years. So, we're going to have to really offset that. But what I like even better is the distributorship of it right here in Madison. By that I mean, Quick Trip, who I have no time for whatsoever, is playing a little game. In Madison, they're at $4.89. That's fine. Most everywhere else it is. But down by Woodman's on Milwaukee Street, Woodman's today, where I topped off, was at $4.59. And yet the Quick Trip right up the street, about maybe not even an eighth of a mile, funny thing, that Quick Trip is at the same price. And all the other ones are 30 cents higher in Madison. Now explain that to me.
It's chicken tax, man. It's that fried chicken tax.
No, it's a little that in itself, Dick, is that's capitalism. That's the competition that we'd love to see everywhere, but when Quick Trip, you know, buys up all of the gas stations everywhere, it's harder for that competition to exist.
Folks, I'm sure that the same people profited off of both sales.
This is Dueling Tangents, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Circus Now, and this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Luke and Brian on the southern swath of Wisconsin.
I didn't even know we were going to get the singing and everything. All
man, when you get me going, it's exciting. You're listening to us on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That's Luke over there in the Solidarity Realty Studios at WTTN 1580 AM and 92.7 FM. That's Double Radio. I'm over here in Waukesha on 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw.
Yeah. We're going to get to your calls shortly, I promise. Yep. But first, we got to give a little update about the circus.
Let's fuel the fire.
Fuel the fire, because the circus is in town, and it's been around for about a year now, and it hasn't left. And it
getting
continues
old,
to
lots
show.
Of elephant poop everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's getting paid to do that has got to be shoveling it everywhere.
No, not doing anything to fix it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that sounds actually much more on brand for the circus that we're going to be referencing, and that is the Michael Gableman review. Again,
yes.
Not using that I word.
Lots of posters, lots of setup, no actual circus.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of
music, hype, actual things.
Exactly. Not much of anything, Brian.
I know the freak show will be back in about 20 minutes. It'll be fine.
That is a good example. Alluding to this headline, we got over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Patrick Marley writes this up, and I'm sure that Gableman's actually frustrated that this is written up by Patrick Marley, because he's called him out by name before, Brian, claiming that it's a political hit job by the reporters over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, like Patrick Marley.
Them telling people what I'm doing specifically.
Exactly. Yeah, Gableman's not a big fan of people actually seeing how he's conducting this review, because it doesn't look well for him, Brian.
No.
The headline, a deposition in Gableman's election, I'm not saying the I word, but Marley uses the I word, unraveled when it was to be conducted by an unlicensed attorney.
Oh, very good. Good thing that Gableman has his ducks in a row and is paying this person as an attorney.
It's a good thing that the Republican-led state assembly is paying for Gableman to have his ducks in a row to have these attorneys, you know, licensed properly.
I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. Please give us more details.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. Well, Brian, so the story goes, a lot of individuals, Gableman sent out subpoenas to hundreds of individuals.
And got really mad that people didn't want to meet him in private to go and have an off-the-record discussion that he's going to use as evidence to go and prove that there was fraud. And that's what led him to want to jail five mayors of the five.
I believe he's only threatened to jail three of them.
Oh, now he's just, either way, he's threatened to jail mayors of cities for not complying with this subpoena. And all those mayors have said, I will testify in public, but there's no way I'm going to go in and be dumb enough to go in and be off the record, because something like this might happen. And look what happened. Someone said, you know what? I will go in. Yeah. I will comply with your stupid subpoena, and I will go in.
He cast a really wide net with his subpoenas that he issued through this review. And one of the individuals, the city administrator for Kenosha, Brian, he said, you know what, I'm going to take Gableman up on this offer. I'm going to go in and I'm going to talk to him at the address listed on the subpoena. And we'll see what happens. He brought in an attorney.
That's a tactic that I like to use. I like to say, if someone says something stupid like, Mitch Biden's gas prices problem, I'll go, sure, it's got Biden's gas prices problem. Explain that for me. Sure, let me lean into
it. So this person said, call him on the bluff.
Let's lean into it, and let's call you on your stupid bluff for your stupid subpoena, you stupid fat person.
Well, I don't believe the city administrator.
He wasn't
said
there.
All
sorry,
no. And the gentleman's name, John Morrissey. So he went into the address listed on the subpoena. But Brian, it turns out that address wasn't the actual address where Gableman's offices were.
Good job. So, communications at a peak here.
Right. Where
doesn't know his own address or gave out the wrong one.
So, reading from the Marley piece, Morrissey showed up, but the interview didn't take place because Gableman planned to have it conducted by an attorney who isn't licensed to practice law in Wisconsin.
Got the wrong address, doesn't even have an attorney that's licensed in Wisconsin.
And this is all Marley reporting from a transcript of what happened that day. So, somebody was transcribing the events of Morrissey, the city administrator for the city of Kenosha, showing up to the address that was on the subpoena issued to him by Michael Gableman, and it was the wrong address, and Gableman wasn't even around for it to happen. It was a subpoena issued for 9 a.m. in Brookfield. They showed up to the address in the subpoena. The people there at that address let them know, you're not actually in the right spot. That's not where Gableman's doing this work. You got to go over here. So they left, and Gableman wasn't there, and the attorney that was set up to conduct this interview through the subpoena, Clint Lancaster. He's an Arkansas attorney that Gableman hired last fall. And he's been pretty integral in denying the results of the 2020 election here in the state of Wisconsin. And a part of this Gableman, I like to call it hashtag Gable mess. I forget who told us that. He called it the Gable mess to start. It might have been Pizza Box Mike or another frequent caller. But the Gable mess, Clint Lancaster has been involved in it. But since he's an attorney based in Arkansas, he hasn't passed the bar here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian.
Great job.
He's not licensed to practice law in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so the attorney...
It's been a year this investigation is going on, and this guy still hasn't passed the bar in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And so the attorney representing Morrissey let Lancaster know, Clint Lancaster, the Arkansas attorney, know that the subpoena wasn't properly served. It was too vague and it was overly broad, according to a copy of the transcript. He offered a litany of other objections as well, saying the interview should be conducted before a legislative committee at the state capitol instead of a private office. So even though he agreed to show up in person, he was still expressing his grievances, the lawyer for the city administrator of Kenosha. And so despite all those concerns, they were there. They were trying to act in good faith. They had handed over documents. This was back in February of this year, Brian. They had handed over documents in January. They tried to deliver those documents in January, and there was nobody at the address for Gableman's review
after
to receive those documents.
After 9 months, they don't know the address, and they still haven't gotten the lawyer.
They sent somebody instead to Kenosha to pick up the documents that the city administrator from Kenosha was trying to deliver. But couldn't
complaining about people not turning in documents when people try to turn in documents, still can't receive them because they have the wrong address because they are so bad at their job. Like, honestly, I honestly thought that they would have gotten this part like right. I never thought that we would be to the like this is the kind of thing that I would make up to make fun of this idiot. But this is actually the truth. Like this is how stupid this is. Like, I'm angry because it's that dumb. It has removed a joke from me. It has removed a way to make fun of these idiots. It has removed the ability to have hyperbole. I can't even have hyperbole on this stupid situation because there are no words to describe how completely and utterly stupid it is to spend $900,000 on an investigation that doesn't have an attorney that's even licensed in the state, doesn't even have a subpoena, can't even figure out its own page. And no, CJ, you're not getting a call today. I'm not going to have you go and change the subject and not pay attention to the fact that I'm dumping you right now. Screw it. I don't care. I don't need to hear that crap because all he's going to do is change the subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all he's going to do is change the subject. He doesn't have anything to say about because this investigation is a joke.
Well, and so the city administrator and his attorney were trying to give Gableman the benefit of the doubt. the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, we'll agree to sit down and have this conversation behind closed doors, even though we believe that it shouldn't be conducted here. Let's do it. As long as you have an attorney that is licensed to practice law in the state of Wisconsin, conduct the interview, because the attorney representing the city administrator for Kenosha, Morrissey, he said that he would be at risk of jeopardizing his law license in the state of Wisconsin by allowing his client to sit down for the interview with an unlicensed attorney in the state of Wisconsin. So he knew that he needed to be able, in his ability, the attorney representing the city administrator knew that he needed to have the interview conducted by a licensed attorney rather than just some guy claiming to be able to conduct that interview. Otherwise, he was jeopardizing his license.
Again, I can't have hyperbole about this because the actual facts of this are so stupid and so incompetent.
Because this is the point. I don't get it. Lancaster contended, this is reading from the Marley piece, Lancaster contended state rules allow him to conduct the interview even though he is not licensed to practice law in Wisconsin. He said he was acting as an investigator, not an attorney. They're trying to have, they are arguing that they have the legal means to be able to issue these subpoenas to conduct this, I'm not using the I word, but what they're trying to conduct behind closed doors, because they say that they're authorized to do it by the Wisconsin State Assembly. And that is what they are arguing right now in court. That's why we're going to continue to see the legal bills rack up well beyond $900,000, Brian, for this stupid, stupid review authorized by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the Republicans in the state legislature. Because Gableman is now arguing, the people working for Gableman are saying, well, I'm not an attorney, I'm an investigator, so I don't need to be licensed in the state of Wisconsin. I can do this.
You know what would have helped? Maybe if you define what the investigation was or what its powers were at the beginning of the investigation, like we said at the beginning of the investigation a year ago.
Yeah. They're sitting
there. The way that things are supposed to go, the way that things are normally supposed to go.
They're arguing in court that they have the authority to do it, while then when they have one-on-one person, when an attorney representing a client that has been subpoenaed in front of this review says, hey, we can't conduct this review legally because you don't have a licensed attorney to run the review. Or to run the interview. And so they don't have it's been a year and they don't have the proper way. And Gableman's not even there at 9 a.m. to conduct the interview.
What else is he doing? What else does he have to do that's so important? If he's going to go and try and jail people over not showing up, you'd think it'd be important enough to show up at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Geez, I know that Brookfield traffic is hard, but maybe you could figure out how to get there. All right, let's go to the phones. CJ, how you doing? Oh, that's all you have to say? That's really good. See you, bye. All right, so Mark from the SAC, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, thank you, and thank you for dumping CJ, because CJ just goes to his normal talking points. Yeah, for Gableman, if I was requested to have a meeting with this guy, there's no way in hell that I would go to meet with the guy and say, I want this to be in public. And if I was forced to meet with him in private, I would be recording the conversation, because I would not trust that man as far as I could heave him, which wouldn't be very far because he is a portly man, and I mean, yeah. I could, you know, have a hard time launching him with a catapult. I mean, that is just it's disgusting that these guys don't have their ducks in a row. They keep claiming that what fraud, and they haven't found any fraud. I mean, they found individual cases, but there was no widespread voter fraud in Wisconsin. In fact, many of the cases they've come up with are people that voted for Donald Trump. You're Trump supporters who committed fraud in the name of Donald Trump. I mean, that it is just the reason, and Voss is too cowardly just to end this charade. He is just
He's getting it from the other side, too. He's now getting it from the other side. He's getting primaried by the same people who like to believe in fiction. Joe from Madison, how you doing? What's going on?
How are we doing, Joe?
Well, I'm just incredulous again at the waste for we people in Wisconsin having this guy who doesn't even bother to show up for his job. Kind of amazing. Doesn't really know where his job takes place. Can't supply an address. But when it comes to waste, I'd like to return. I'd like to do a little CJ and just go back to a talking point here, which is the stuff that you were doing earlier on oil companies and gas and gas stations and the increase in gas. And I would say three words. windfall profit tax. Just windfall profit tax. You indicated in your discussion you had examples of the immense profit that these oil companies have been making in this first quarter. I believe it was a 400% increase for Chevron.
Yep.
Okay, windfall profit tax. And look at their subsidies, which run at about $20 billion a year. You get subsidies like $20 billion and you can't pay your way. That's not right. So my two cents.
No, it's absolutely not right. And Joe, I would contend that that's a much better place to look for blame for why these prices are so high rather than the executive office here in
the state. If you're going to blame the executive office of any kind, I'd blame the last several executive offices, because this is a problem that's been, you know, allowed to happen for the last 100 or so years. It's not like one person did this or one person did that. This is, I mean, corporate profits have been creeping up and been taken over like monopolies for, I don't know, the past 100 years or so, since they broke up the first time.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. One more segment left in the day. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I just want to get at something real quick here. Before I hear any white grievances about how it's your right to go and speak on the air on somebody else's show, or, you know, your right to come in and say whatever you want on a show, our ratings are going up every time that I dump CJ. And honestly, if you think it's because of conservative thought, I have no problem with Dave from Mequon calling in. He adds to the conversation, yeah. Actually joins in on the conversation. In fact, I disagree vehemently with what Gary from Sussex says, and I think that he's a little bit short-sighted in almost everything he's done. I don't think he's actually thought through most of what he says, but at least he has a conversation and goes back and forth and stays on the subject at hand. And if he's going to switch the subject, he actually acknowledges that he is. Hey, I'd like to go and talk about this instead. You don't actually further the conversation, and if you think that that's a problem, and if you don't like that I'm censoring you, I'd like to go and remind you what the righty-whitey people have to say.
We never present ourselves as a free and open forum. This is not a Danocracy. This is a Dan-tatorship.
And I think anybody fair would have said I've given you way too much leash already. So let's move on to the next subject. You had an update?
Well, I do have an update on this whole cable mess that's going on right now. A Dane County Circuit Judge, Frank Remington, he has denied a motion to squash a subpoena requiring former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman to testify in court on Friday in the case that involves a records request to the office handling the review of Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election. That's our friend Jesse Apoyan over at the Cap Times reporting that out this afternoon. So it seems like Gableman was trying to squash a subpoena because he didn't want to testify in Tane County Circuit Court, and the judge has squashed that. So
you mean an actual authorized subpoena?
He will be...
authorized subpoena. That's funny.
Yeah, I believe
that's what an authorized
right
subpoena
address.
Is, sir.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It got to the correct address. Gableman knew about it, and he tried to get out of it, and the judge said, no, you're going to come into Dane County Court on Friday. So that's the update, the last update
shame.
I got for the Gable mess.
I wonder if he'll be able to figure out where that is. I mean, he was a former Supreme Court justice, but again, he still doesn't know how elections work. So good luck with that.
Good luck with that indeed. But Brian, we got some more news that broke this morning and a little update for what's going on in the Wisconsin legislature and the governor's office. So Governor Tony Evers calling for a special session today to overturn the 1849 law in Wisconsin that outlaws abortion. So Evers calling for that special session on June 22nd. It is the... I believe we're getting close to 9 or 10. It's either the 9th or the 10th special session that has been called by the governor in his first term as governor of Wisconsin. And every single special session call that has been made by the governor has been met with an immediate gavel in and gavel out by the Republican-led legislature. So
we think we should do something. We should do something. There's all these problems. We're going to cry about it and blame Tony Evers. Okay, do something about it. No. Great.
Yep, that's a pretty good summation of what's going on.
We should figure out how to vote during the pandemic. Okay, here's a special session. Figure out how to vote during the pandemic. No.
And that is as far as the debate goes. because it's unfortunate that that is the case. The, again, we'll remind the listeners.
They're afraid of thought and ideas.
We'll remind the listeners that the Republican-led legislature is on a about 9.5-10 month sabbatical. They gaveled out of legislative session for the year back at the end of February, beginning of March.
Kind of hard to blame everybody else for the problems that you're refusing to even do anything about.
Yeah, they're not actively working to address the problems that face Wisconsin with legislation, which they are legislators. That is their job. But they are out of session for the remainder of the calendar year. They will not be back in session until 2023. But the governor has called for a special session to bring the lawmakers back to Madison. June 22nd, there will be a special session to address abortion as health care here in the state of Wisconsin. So that's a little bit of update there. And to final... get one more story out there before the end of this big show, Brian. Tony Evers calls... I'm reading the second headline. This one has to do with Robin Voss. I've already read the Tony Evers headline. But over at the Wisconsin Examiner, we've got some news breaking today ahead of the Wisconsin Elections Commission meeting that is taking place on Friday, June 10th, later this week. Voss appoints attorney Don Millis to Elections Commission. So as we know, Dean Knutson, former state lawmaker Dean Knutson... he was on the Wisconsin Elections Commission about just over a week and a half ago, or I believe 2 weeks ago today. The Wisconsin Elections Commission was holding a meeting, and Dean Knutson pretty abruptly announced that he was resigning from the commission. He was stepping down from his role as soon as Voss named his replacement. And it was because he didn't want to throw his name in the ring for chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which he was one of two Republican appointed commissioners that were eligible to be the chair. And that was the other Republican Elections Commissioner was Robert Spindell, who again was a fraudulent elector in the 2020 election. He signed legal paperwork saying that Donald Trump won the state's 10 electoral votes when he in fact lost the state by more than 20,000 votes.
Remember, Knutson retired because that's what happens when you have to tell the truth.
Well, when you have a spine and you do tell the truth in the state of Wisconsin,
that's what happens.
You promptly
or no, anywhere. This is nationwide. They all retire.
Well,
you retire, Jeff
Wisconsin
Flake,
well.
And anybody who ever says anything, Kinzinger, anybody who ever says anything different, they get ostracized by the fascist party because they, you know, can't brook any sort of difference of opinion.
Yeah, Knutson said that he lost the support of the Republican leadership in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, Rojo, who's got the finger on the pulse of anything.
Robin Voss was like, hey, it wasn't me. I didn't tell him to resign. And Ron Johnson was asked, or Knutson was asked if it was Ron Johnson. He was like, oh, let everybody speak for themselves. So it essentially let us know that Ron Johnson was the one that let Dean Knutson know that he had lost the support of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin for admitting that Donald Trump did not win the state in 2020. And so Voss is appointing Don Millis to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Millis had previously served on the commission. He was on the elections board before that was dismantled by Republicans under then-Governor Scott Walker and then-Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. And then he was the first appointment that, at the time, the state Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, who is now Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, again, the individual that was responsible for reserving the room so those 10 fraudulent electors could cast their fraudulent elector votes in 2020. But then Millis was Fitzgerald's appointment to the Wisconsin Elections Commission when it was first created in 2016. So I don't know where Millis stands. This was an announcement made earlier. I believe it was either late morning, early afternoon when Voss announced Millis as his pick to replace Knutson. But we've got to find out where he stands on whether or not, you know, the election was conducted fairly in the state of Wisconsin and whether or not he's going to be the chair or if it's going to be Robert Spindell. Because if Millis isn't interested in being chair, the only other person that could be chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission is Robert Spindell, fraudulent elector. So that, Brian, is what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin with all of our headlines. It's been a full news Wednesday. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. DevilRadio927.com. Click on Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. The Devil's Advocates are coming up next.
All right, CJ, here's your chance right now. Nothing? You got nothing? You're on the air, man. Nothing? Okay, there's your chance.